Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go flight.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go flight.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in the space flight from around the globe. And now, with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, from Florida Space Coast, where just about an hour and a half ago, some big news happening up at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station. We'll talk about that in a minute. I'm Jim Behnke, and this is the March 13th, 2010 edition of Space Talk, brought to you by United Space Alliance. Innovation you can trust, performance you can count on. Well, we do have a lot going on today. We'll get you up to date in a moment, and then later we're going to continue what seems like our week after week after week discussion about President Obama's proposed budget for NASA. And we're going to try to understand what it all means with the help of Dale Ketchum, a longtime space advocate and an active guy in Florida politics, all around good guy. And you're going to want to stand by for that conversation. And if any time along the way today you do have a question or a comment for us, please give us a call. 768-1240 is the number to reach us here in the studio, *1240. For all local AT&T wireless customers. And if you happen to be listening to our streaming show live online right now at WMMBAM.com, then feel free to give us a call as well. The long distance number 321-768-1240. Or send us email to spacetalking@AOL.com. Well, boy, if you were outside in the general area near Cape Canaveral Air Force Station today around 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and heard a brief roll of thunder, wondered where it came from given how sunny and beautiful it is here today, then you were lucky enough to hear a little slice of space history take place. There was nothing flying, but SpaceX, the company founded, operated, and run by Elon Musk, did finally now conduct a successful test firing of its Falcon 9 first stage rocket. The nine Merlin engines ignited and burned for about 3.5 seconds and then shut down exactly as planned. And again, according to all that I've heard from official and unofficial sources, the test was a complete success. And boy, what I want to say about that is that I hope this quiets, at least for the moment, maybe even shuts up, the doom and gloom naysayers that leaped at the chance to trash SpaceX earlier this week, when on Tuesday they made an attempt at this very same test, and the test aborted about 2 seconds before the engine ignition test firing actually took place. There was some orange flame from the ground there. That was burning off of kerosene and oxygen that was in the pipes of the system. It wasn't the actual engine igniting. As it turns out, in a quick analysis of the situation, a valve that was on the launch pad on the ground support equipment didn't open and when it was supposed to. And as it turns out, the rocket itself worked exactly as it was designed to. This valve didn't exist on a Texas test stand where these engines had been test fired before. And the software that that runs the countdown had not accounted for that little difference in the ground support equipment and never commanded the valve to open. So, you know, everyone was immediately trashing SpaceX and saying, oh, here's proof, Falcon 9, it can't work. They don't know what they're doing. Commercial space will never work. And we're all just, you know, a bunch of fools following them. And, of course, as it turns out, the rocket worked exactly as it was supposed to. You know, some of what I read after that thing, again, talking about people way, you know, leaped after a chance to say something bad. I saw stuff, including in our own Florida Today, a column that ran, I think, on Thursday, just ridiculing them for the failed test. Some of the reaction from the space community bordered on the violent attacks. And, you know, I figured Elon and the gang there must be doing something right to have so many people drooling over the chance to say something bad about them and just a little hiccup. Consider this. You know, this is a 180-foot-tall rocket that's going to go into orbit. That's the plan. Think back to our Atlas days in the early days, well, frankly, before I was born. You know, with the full military-industrial complex of the United States of America behind it, and one after another, these things blew up until they finally figured it out and got going. You know, now SpaceX, now, of course, I know the Falcon 9, it can't be compared to the early ICBM of an Atlas. There's a whole other beast out there. But SpaceX has taken all the lessons that have been learned in the history of our space program. They've looked at it. They understand it. Now you add modern avionics. You use modern materials, the latest, greatest composites, the latest, greatest alloys that are out there, and deal with the same physics and math that have been around since the beginning of time in terms of what it takes, the energy it takes, the path it takes to get into orbit. You've got Elon putting a vast majority of his own money into this effort, and a lot of investors lined up already to help out. You've got valuable flight experience from the Falcon 1 rocket, which is basically a smaller version of the Falcon 9 with one engine at the bottom of it that they've launched several times. Yes, they had some problems. Yes, they've had some near failures, near successes, and at least one good complete success. But I got to tell you, in those Falcon 1 tests that ran up to give them experience, I remember the time they were counting down and they aborted on the launch pad. The engines were fully run up. The thing was ready to lift off, and then they shut it down because there was a problem. And in that same and like in, within an hour, they'd identified the problem, solved it. It was a software thing. They put a patch into the software, verified that it would work, refueled the rocket, and launched within their own window. Now, when have you seen any rocket, private, commercial, government, military, whatever, in the history of our space program that was capable of doing something? You know, if we quote-unquote burp the shuttle main engines, you know, you're down for 3 weeks at least. You know, and some of the other unmanned rockets, the Atlas and Deltas in the past, have taken at least a week or two to turn around after they've been ignited on the pad. So, you know, that's when I became a fan of SpaceX. And say what you want about whether it's the right thing to do with commercial space or not, I think these guys know what they're doing. And I think, you know, we give them the time and the patience to do and go through the learning curves that everyone has to go through when you consider how tough space flight is, and they're going to pull through, and they're going to change the way things are done, not only in the launch business nationally, but certainly in the landscape of Florida and our space coast. So all that said, right now SpaceX is looking hard at a launch date of April 12th. At least that's the date they've now got booked on the Eastern Range, which officially takes them off March 22nd. Which we had been talking about for a while, but we had expected all along that they wouldn't make March 22nd, and Elon and the SpaceX team had said as much. So now we're looking at April 12th, which is a very interesting date for reasons we'll discuss later in the program. But you know, if that's the date and they can make it off the ground one way or the other, you know, that's going to be a good day. That's going to be a good day. So while that's going on, a lot of other stuff going on in commercial space this week. Who says we wouldn't have anything to talk about when the shuttle retires? Space Florida continued to do good, continued to make progress in securing, at least laying the foundation for what needs to be done as we try to attract more commercial launch business, commercial space business to the Cape. This week, the 45th Space Wing officially granted Space Florida the real property licenses for Complex 36 and 46. Now, that's all very bureaucratic and all that, and it doesn't mean a lot to you and me. But what it does say is that it's moving the process forward for Space Florida. The next step is to get a launch site operator's license from the FAA, and it continues to build the process toward creating what's going to be a commercial launch zone, which we hope will encompass the entire state of Florida and make us very competitive for doing the kind of things we're going to have to do in the future to bring more commercial space business here. And again, as we talk about the NASA budget and where all that's headed, if we don't, in our state, do these things now to lay the foundation for that kind of work, we're going to be stuck when it's time to rely on these folks later, and other states are going to be ahead of us. So this was a huge deal for Space Florida, a huge deal for the state of Florida to make it this far and get that real property license. By the way, I want to let you know, Space Florida's website was redesigned, and they've got some really great stuff on there. When Frank DiBello and Mark Nappy were on the program a couple weeks ago, they talked about how every county in the state has an impact or is impacted by the space program. And you can go now to spaceflorida.gov and check out that data. You can click on any county and see what kind of impact they're talking about. Right now they're talking about a $20 billion impact on the state of Florida from an $8 billion investment in space. So that's something else, and I think I would highly advise all of you who are interested in that to check out that new website and check out that data. And follow along as, again, the state continues to move toward developing a bigger commercial presence in space. Well, we're going to stop now and take our first break. When we return, we're going to continue to talk more about commercial space. We'll talk about NASA's budget, Constellation, shuttle retirement, and President Obama's upcoming visit to Florida. Well, this is Space Talk, brought to you by United Space Alliance. I'm Jim Behnke, and you're listening to WMMB.
And now back to Space Talk on WMMB.
Well, and good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to Space Talk. And I am Jim Behnke, and this is Space Talk, brought to you by United Space Alliance. Stay tuned to this station, by the way, at 3 p.m. as live and local radio continues throughout the weekend with a new Dan Connery show right here on MMB. Remind you that 321-768-1240, the number to call to join us in our conversation today, especially now as we get into this conversation with about President Obama and the NASA budget and where we're headed. Feel free to send us email to spacetalking@aol.com, where we've already got two or three questions lined up today, so it looks like we're going to have a good input from the audience. And with me now in the studio today, a longtime friend, fellow space cadet, Dale Ketchum. Dale is director of the Spaceport Research and Technology Institute at the University of Central Florida. We served together on the board of directors of the National Space Club Florida Committee. We both worked for Space Florida in consulting capacities. We both consulted for a lot of we both wear a lot of different hats, and you're never really sure which hat we're wearing. So we'll just leave that to the listener's imagination. But in any case, Dale, welcome to the show today.
Glad to be here.
Good. Dale, well, let's get right into it. So we're talking about President Obama's budget and you know, what's it all about? I mean, the reaction's been so strong, so almost, like I said, almost violent in so many different ways. There's a lot of misconceptions out there, a lot of facts. What's your take on all this?
Well, I think the biggest problem with it that's engendered most of the controversy, at least here in Florida, is the one areas where it is clear is it's clear in what the president doesn't want to do. He doesn't want to continue with Constellation.
Now, why is that? Is that because he doesn't want to go to the moon? He doesn't like the Ares rocket?
I think it's basically him acknowledging that he agrees with the findings of the Augustine Committee, which was, although they continued to stress that they were not recommendations, it was pretty hard to read it without understanding if it was going to direct you anywhere. It was pretty clear what that direction was, and I think for the most part that's what the president chose to embrace.
Now, when we talk about Constellation, I think one of the things that's confused me, and I've seen the rhetoric go both ways, when you say Constellation, you know, does that mean the hardware, the architecture, or does that mean the vision of going back to the moon and on to Mars? And so when they say we've shut down Constellation, some people look at it as, oh my God, we're, you know, the rockets are gone. And others have said, now we have no direction.
Well, I to some extent, I think that, and Administrator Bolden was clear that they botched the rollout. That in my mind, in my reading of the budget, the architecture was what they chose not to embrace. The fact that they want to continue human exploration of space, I mean, he increased the budget to do that. I mean, there is no greater barometer of commitment in Washington, D.C. than money. And now, did they allow in a sloppy rollout the opportunity for people, some of them had other agendas, to mischaracterize it? I think a lot of it was just genuine concern by people who had reason to be concerned, and their lack of clarity gave them reason to have those concerns. So hopefully that is one of the things they're going to clarify when the president comes here in April.
You're good at this kind of political analysis. Help us understand these agendas, you know, and what are they? I mean, there's so many.
Well, it's not unusual. I mean, this is a government program. There are a multitude of them. There have been and will be in the future. It is a government program that had contractors that were aligned, as they should have, for programs that were identified in the budget and were moving forward. That's how business is done. But periodically, the government decides we no longer want to pursue that course. Programs are killed and canceled all the time. If they're really big, it causes a great deal of tumult. But those who had made investments and were aligned to benefit with long-term contracts, employment as a result of the architecture existing, when that goes away, obviously they're not happy.
Right. Well, and this leads me to this question from online here. Our old friend Jerry and Vieira asking about, basically saying that there's, in the online world, you know, the online bloggers are just so, I wake up every morning, not with a cup of coffee, but by reading, you know, what the latest
right.
folks have said, and they just get my heartbeat going. But there has been some grumbling online, the question asks, among the incumbent Constellation program contractors as to how NASA Deputy Administrator Lori Garver particularly is accused maybe of pushing the new NASA commercialization agenda to make change and take all the kind of attention away from the traditional contractors. So some of them got really angry and pushing, saying some bad things about Lori personally. You know, what's your take on how both her and Bolden's personal interest in all this has molded what ultimately came? Or is that all just crazy and it's Obama in the White House and OMB or whoever that really...
Well, I guess I know Lori. I like Lori. I trust her. I have a great deal of confidence in her competence. And she was a part of the campaign. She led the transition team. It was, you know, it was not unusual to know basically what she thought, given her history. Mm-hmm. And she's always been a rather strong advocate of commercial. But I believe when the issue was first raised, I believe it was Senator Vitter who first took after her in a personal
right.
way.
Right.
That Chairman Nelson, Bill Nelson, chairman of the subcommittee at that time, correctly stated that the people driving this train are the same ones that were driving the Bush train, and that is the Office of Management and Budget.
Mm-hmm.
Lori's input, I'm sure, was substantive, as was General Bolden's. But this is a collective effort, and if they choose to, you know, make Lori the scapegoat, she's a big girl, and I'm sure she'll handle it with
She seems
grace.
To weather it okay.
Oh, yeah. No, Lori will be fine.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about Lori.
And I, Lori, as know her as well, and we work together on things, and someday I'll tell the Apollo 13 story when we get a little closer to April working with her. But the emphasis on commercial, even, and you can use the word commercial, the privatization, I mean, there's been this current in the space community for a long time trying to move us in this direction, and then suddenly it's given to us on a silver platter, and yet now we don't want it suddenly.
Well, at least
a segment of the community doesn't want it.
Correct. But again, that's not unusual. If I'd made big investments and had hired a bunch of people to do one program and it changes, then I'm going to have reservations about that decision, but that is more or less the nature of business. It has happened in the past. It will happen again. That's where we are today. I guess what I find, my own personal interpretation of what's going on, is the president is invoking not just the Augustine Committee, but he's curiously enough being endorsed and embraced by Newt Gingrich, the mm-hmm. leader of the Republican Revolution and a man who's running for the Republican presidency. And Bob Walker, who was chairman of the committee with full jurisdiction over the NASA program for many, many years in Congress. And they both wrote an editorial in The Washington Times on February 12th, where they basically praised the president's initiative as a bold new step and urged all Republicans to support the president's NASA budget. And, they stated it, as
yeah.
Newt does, very clearly, very impactfully. And they referenced the fact that not only did the Augustine Committee say that it is appropriate for the country at this time to go forward with commercial access to LEO, but they also referenced two earlier reports that were analogous to the Augustine Committee in 2002 and 2004, and they all said the same thing. NASA, we know how to get to low Earth orbit. That technology has been demonstrated for more than half a century by us, longer by the Russians.
Right.
If the Russians can do it, the Chinese can do it, the Indians will be doing it soon enough. Why would you assume that American business cannot compete and accomplish that and allow NASA to turn its attention to doing that which we have not done before?
And that part of it makes so much sense to me. And Dale, with about a minute left before our break here, when you've got Newt Gingrich and Bob Walker, and through my time at the Space Foundation, I got to know Bob Walker real well, and I really liked the guy. You got these Republicans praising a Democratic president, and now you go online and you see these people blogging, and you hear people, you know, the Republicans are praising Democratic ideals, and Democrats are praising Republican concepts, It's like cats and dogs are mixing together where they shouldn't be. Is that what's your take on all that? What do you think about all that going on?
Well, I can't help but believe that Ronald Reagan must be spinning in his grave because you have a you're attempting to take a government program and turn it over to free enterprise and using that as the mechanism for competing in the world. And yet you have people saying no, it should remain a government program. And for getting to low Earth orbit,
right,
we know how to do that. Let the private sector compete.
And let them do it with a different kind of contractual thing, a fixed price versus a cost plus. And those mean things, but commercial folks, it's a little different way of doing commercial business than NASA's been doing in the past.
It's more commercial. It's actually bringing the marketplace into space access, which is, and bringing the marketplace into anything is what America is good at and what makes us America.
Now, is there a marketplace bigger than just what NASA is right now?
I think that's the entire point. The idea is to engender a marketplace specifically here in Florida with launch providers and the suppliers and integrators and all the research and technology and to build an entire area here that responds to getting into space.
We'll pick up that thought in just a moment here, and then we'll also talk when we come back from the break about President Obama's visit. We are going to take our little five-minute built-in hold right here. You can still join us along the way, 321-768-1240. Space Talk brought to you by United Space Alliance. I'm Jim Behnke. You're listening to WMMB. Back in five.
With everything you need to know about America's space program, here is Jim Behnke.
And welcome back to this second half of Space Talk on WMMB, brought to you by United Space Alliance. Innovation you can trust and performance you can count on. 321-768-1240, the number to call, *1240 for AT&T wireless customers along the Space Coast. Once again, spacetalking@AOL.com gets you here via email. And I want to remind you that you can follow us on Twitter anytime. Our username is Space Talking. And today's program, as always, can be heard live online right now at WMMBAM.com, where you'll also be able to go later today and download a recording of today's program. If you think Dale Ketchum's voice is great, you can play it anytime you want. And send it home to Mom and Dad for Christmas. And all that available to you at WMMBAM.com, as well as our show page, Space Talk, the keywords to use there. So that's your one-stop shop for everything. Dale, again, welcome back. So President Obama, he puts out this budget. There's some misconceptions. There's a sense of a vision lacking. We're not sure what the future holds. Not only do we have to deal with the shuttle retirement, but he cancels Constellation, including Ares and Orion and Altair and everything that we were kind of counting on to pick up the slack after shuttle. Folks at KSC are angry.
Yep.
And there's some grassroots stuff going on that I never thought I'd ever see in my history of my career. You got people, some people angry, some people in denial. You got some people buying giant tag board and lots of poster paint. And because President Obama's coming here April 15th. What do you know about him coming here, and what do you think's going to happen, and what does he need to say? What does he hope to say? What do you think people hope to hear? What is he going to say?
Well, it's my understanding, and although they're keeping this very close hold and orchestrating it out of the White House, which is of course not inappropriate or unexpected given
right.
the nature of events, but I believe he's going to come here. From what they've said, they're not coming here to negotiate. They're coming here to articulate more clearly, which I guess is to rectify the problems of the rollout, exactly why this is a good idea. And I guess I'm personally very encouraged that he's coming to Florida. This is, where the impact of his decisions will be felt most dramatically. Well, actually, that's not necessarily true. We're going to lose the most jobs.
Right.
But that was inevitable anyway. I mean, even if the Congress, we're still operating under a continuing resolution from the Bush years. If nothing changes, 7,000 people are laid off today.
Right.
Or this year.
Right.
I mean, that's
going to happen, and that's always been the case.
That's been the plan since 2004. For 6 years, that was proposed by the president and endorsed and funded by Congresses now for 6 years going, that we would retire the shuttle and lay off the workforce.
Right.
it was also has been the plan now for 6 years that we would rely on the Russians for a number of years as sole access to International Space Station. This is not a new development. This laying off the shuttle workforce and relying on the Russians has been the plan since 2004.
Mm-hmm.
However, what the president did in canceling Constellation simply took that 7,000 job loss figure and made it closer to 9,000. So what he needs to do is come here and tell us why what he proposed is good for Florida. Now, I think it is. In the long run, there are still some big issues to overcome. Now, do they extend the shuttle? Rumor is they're probably going to add an additional shuttle flight with the existing parts that are available, STS-135.
Right.
But I think that's being driven by the fact that the president added an extra flight last year when he said we're going to fly the Alpha Magnetic Spectrometer.
Right, a big science experiment.
Big science, a $1.5 billion project that was Mike Griffin thought ought to be a paperweight.
Right.
Well,
right.
Obama said, let's fly that. So that added an additional flight. NASA told him the payload was ready. Well, it ain't.
It isn't exactly ready.
It's not exactly ready.
Right.
It was supposed to fly this summer. It doesn't look like it's going to be ready until early 2011. So if you're going to be paying people to stand around waiting for that to be launched, the cost of the shuttle is the workforce. So if you've got your workforce standing around, well, heck, it doesn't cost that much money. Go ahead and fly another vehicle.
Sure.
And, you know, the shuttle does provide capability up and down mass that you just won't be able to get anywhere else. And it does keep your, it allows us a somewhat slower transition, a less abrupt workforce transition, but that's coming nonetheless. You know, we are going to stop flying the shuttle. However much Representative Posey and Cosmos, and there, I know there is an initiative to keep flying through 2015. My personal belief is I don't think that's likely. But it's the Congress. You never know what they can do.
Mm-hmm.
But even if that occurs, if we stretch this out to two flights a year, you're going to have thousands of people laid off this year because right now you've got three shifts pumping out, getting three birds ready to finish up real quick. If you stretch all that out, well, then you're just going to one shift, a more leisurely pace. You don't need all these shifts and all
right.
this overtime.
Right.
So,
and the shuttle was designed, let's make it clear, the shuttle was designed in such a way by unfortunately not getting enough funding back in the 70s,
right.
that it needs an extremely large number of people to service it, to take care of it. It needs a standing army. And if we're going to make improvements in our program, we're going to need a new vehicle, whatever that turns out to be, is going to take less people to get it ready to fly.
Correct.
And so that's just a reality. I mean, there's another reality that says, you know, 100 years from now, we're going to have spaceports everywhere, and we're not going to be the only place that flies. But that's a long time from now.
Right.
Here we're just having this first baby steps towards a new way of doing business. Now, my question is, and this maybe this gets a little bit back into some cynical politics, but you know, I remember growing up, thought John F. Kennedy was a visionary. Loved him.
Mm-hmm.
Even before I knew he was a Democrat. Mm-hmm. Growing up as a staunch conservative. And when I found out that it was all political, and when I found out, when I learned as becoming an adult and becoming, you know, aware of those kind of issues, that he didn't really even care about space. It was all about serving some certain goals. I was devastated, okay? I thought, well, everyone loves space. We do it because it's the right thing to do, and we've got these things. Okay, so that's setting the stage for this kind of weird question, which is, does Obama really care about space? Or is this all about coming to make the I-4 corridor in Florida love him better now so that we can get reelected in 2012?
Well, to be honest with you, I hope it's the latter because presidents, as any politicians, one, I do think he does have an affinity for space if based upon how he characterizes his relationship with his grandfather and the Apollo and as much as any president has. President Bush never came down here.
Right.
He was the first governor of the state of Texas to never visit Johnson Space Center.
Right.
Presidents will throw their personal preferences under the bus in a heartbeat for political expediency. I want my program to be essential to his political success.
Right.
So I would prefer that he's just doing it for political purposes, and he keeps just doing it for political
purposes.
Because
that's the way the game is played.
Absolutely.
And so if this is that important to him, then he's going to show up and tell us what we need to hear.
Well, and I think there are some important things to say. Now does he continue to – the arguments that are made by the shuttle crew are – there's a great deal of validity to them in terms of they represent the essential core skill sets that we're going to need when we get back in the business of heavy lift launch. That's a bad price to pay to allow that to attrit to the wind and just, you know, lose that forever.
Right.
So the ability to come here and talk more clearly about how that workforce can be utilized in the testing and the technology development that he's discussing, that would be essential, bringing more clarity to what that technology development and the 21st century commercial spaceport launch complex that he's talked about with the $2 billion for Kennedy Space Center. He needs to flesh that out more clearly.
And where would you spend $2 billion at KSC?
Well, a lot of it is, look at the Ares 1 launch. I mean, that's $300-400 million right there.
Right.
And fortunately, that can probably be reutilized. KSC is very good at, you know, reusing its infrastructure.
Right.
But a lot of that money is going to go into upgrading the range capability because that has been the albatross around Florida's neck for a generation. That is why we have gone from, 90% of launches in the free world down to less than 10 now because, it's not the Air Force's fault directly, but they were the reason why, it was not worth anybody's time to launch here
right.
when they could go somewhere else and not have to deal
right.
with it. So upgrading that removes the albatross from Florida that's inhibited our ability to capture.
And I thought that was interesting. If $2 billion, not all of it's going to be spent on range, but whatever is spent on range, given that the Air Force operates and manages the range, to me was kind of an interesting budget twist. How does the one pay for the other? How does one pay for those upgrades?
That's going to be an interesting thing, and I think it can be done. The Air Force has really changed the leadership of the Air Force from the four-star General Kaler down through the wing over the last few COs. Really been significant improvements. But the key is, do we have the right people at the Air Force and NASA working this issue? This could turn into a real Donnybrook bureaucratically, or it gets solved for the good of all.
Well, and as we're talking about now, the state of Florida and being involved on the range, and let's talk about how all this affects the state of Florida. And you've been up to – we had Space Day last week. You were in the trenches up there meeting with legislators, talking about what we need in this state to position the state to handle this NASA budget. With 30 seconds, what was the reaction from folks up there, and what's your take on Florida and its ability to react to all this?
Well, I think it was very good because we – one, it's been in the press – there's a higher level of visibility. Plus, I think there's a benefit from the fact we've been going to Space Day now for 15 years, and there's just a certain value to persistence. And they're very attentive to the concerns and the quality of the workforce that we want to preserve here in Florida and the jobs. But again, it comes back to a function of money.
And do we have the money? Are we going to get $32 million out of a how many billion-dollar deficit?
It depends upon whether or not the state wins that billion-dollar federal education grant.
Well, that's interesting.
Yes.
Okay, we'll have to keep our eyes on that. Dale, stand by. We're going to take our final break here, come back, talk a little bit more about space and education here in Florida. We'll be right back. This is Jim Banky on WMMB.
Now, back to our own mission specialist, Jim Banky.
This is good bumper music. I hadn't heard this one for a while. Welcome back, everybody. We begin our final segment of today's Space Talk, sponsored by United Space Alliance. And Dale Ketchum with us here in the studio on today's show. And we've been talking, of course, about NASA and the budget and the state of Florida and whatnot. And, of course, as we mentioned at the top of the hour, we both wear many hats. And again, one of the major hats that Dale wears is a director of the Spaceport Research and Technology Institute at the University of Central Florida, where I'm now going to be a proud parent of a son heading there this summer. Dale, my son wants to go into some computer science and modeling. Let's say that he actually catches the space bug. Can he go to UCF or any state school? Can he get excited about the space program by going through our university system? Can he graduate with a credible degree and then go work in Florida in space? Can you do that now? Is that something we need to work harder on? What do you think?
Well, I think the state university system as a whole, Chancellor Brogan, who's the new former lieutenant governor under Jeb Bush and was the chair of the earlier Space Florida predecessor organization, Spaceport Florida Space Authority.
Right.
He's now chancellor of the state university system, and he's been working hard to try to bring the universities together to create an environment that will allow the state to be more responsive to the changes that are coming in the NASA budget and what the president has proposed in terms of technology development that would allow NASA to focus more on really innovative technologies that would get us to Mars in a month instead of a year, to, you know, mine the moon more effectively for fuel and food and oxygen.
Sure.
All these really spiffy stuff. If there is an if that comes to fruition, and I think it can, I think Florida can be at the epicenter of a lot of this development, because the technology development program itself, as the Augustine Commission said, is designed to have money dedicated to improving processes for whatever program is developed to lower operational costs, so we don't find ourselves like we are now with a space shuttle that costs, you know, billions and billions of dollars a year, whether we're launching or not, and NASA's pouring its money into the vehicle instead of the missions.
Right.
And, you know, most of the costs of a program are incurred at the launch site. So it makes sense that KSC have an institutionalized piece of that technology development program, so we can be lowering life cycle costs for programs here at KSC, because that's where they're born. But that's material sciences, cryogenics. There's a variety of really fascinating technologies that we can have our fingers in.
You know, and we're not a research center. We are an operational center, and that's a cultural thing that we got to get over, because I think it also has influenced the universities. Where
it,
you know,
has.
we've unless I'm well, I guess we maybe contributed to some small stuff, but you know. We're not a university. You wouldn't go to University of Florida, you wouldn't go to USC and expect to build a giant lunar probe like some other colleges have done, other university systems have done.
No. Well, we're getting there.
We're getting there.
We've done pieces of it.
But generally, we're not a research. We're an operational. So we would figure out the propulsion. We would figure out the cryogenics.
A lot of the state universities are doing good NASA research. It's just it's not coming through Kennedy Space Center.
Right.
KSC has always been an operations center, although that's sort of been the crusade of my career for the last 4 years working for the CERTI, is that – but I saw this coming, that we were not able to get the research dollars because we were an ops center. We had 15,000 people. We were fat and happy. Our budgets were going – while Mike Griffin cut research spending elsewhere to fund Constellation development.
Right.
So the research centers were squawking, but now we're going to be hemorrhaging jobs by the thousands. So bringing research here is a good idea, because it will enable us to diversify our business base, so we're not purely operations.
Right. Life sciences was the key one that I
Absolutely.
Was thinking of, and maybe folks don't know, and maybe this is a good topic for a future space talk. But you know, there obviously is a lot of land out at the Kennedy Space Center,
yes.
And we've got a research park scarred into the ground, ready to go. We've got a couple of good buildings, a couple of labs out there that are essentially being used as office space. I know there's still research going there, But by and large, you know, because we've had this cultural thing for so long, you know, we've got an opportunity here to do some really good stuff. What I'm wondering is, you know, will the schools be willing to come here and do the business? Will they be willing to set up labs at the Kennedy Space Center? Are they willing to?
Schools are like businesses. They will go there if there's money. And you can arrange to do that, because being involved in research is one of the key functions of why Colorado has grown now
yes.
to being the number two state in the entire union for aerospace jobs behind California, is because, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but none more so than the fact that University of Colorado at Boulder has consistently been among the one or two top recipients of NASA research dollars. We need to bring that type of capability here, because it's that research that spins off the small business, the innovation, and really gets your economy flourishing and robust, and lots of spinoffs and synergies. And that's what we are. That's what we're not here at Kennedy mm-hmm. Space Center. And as someone who, you know, my dad was putting me through college when the Apollo program was gutted.
Right.
And I didn't realize it at the time, how hard it was for him to pay for me to be having a blast at the University of Florida.
Right.
And now I'm going to go through that. And I think part of it is we really want to make sure that if my kids are working out there in 20 years, we need to diversify the business base so they're not subject to this kind of, you know, employment cataclysm again. Hopefully we've learned our lesson after two times.
Well, and not only do we want more development here, but I also, one of my concerns has always been, does the rest of the state get it? You know, that we're more than just, space is more than just Brevard County. As we alluded to on the Space Florida website, you can go to this website and see how it's important in all 67 counties. And it's more than just launch. So we need to be more than launch. We need to be more than just Brevard County. Is that message, do you think that message is getting out there? I mean, certainly Orlando's gotten it clearly in the last few years. Tampa, up north, south, what do you?
I think we've made a lot of progress. Have we sold them entirely? No. Is there still work to do? Yeah. But we've made a lot of progress, but that's not unusual. I mean, Florida's a big state. If you go to Iowa or Oregon, space is not important.
Right.
And, you know, that's part of the problem is what we need to do costs a lot of money, and we're competing with a lot of other very important interests to the people of the country and right. their representatives in Washington. So just saying we need a few more billion dollars to get to the moon is delusional. That money is not going to be coming. The fact that the president's committed an additional $6 billion going into the fiscal crisis we are going into is as good as we could hope to get.
Better.
Well, and the problem is Constellation, the problems with it are because the president said he would ask for this amount of money and then he never did. So you had an underfunded program. I don't want to see the president have Constellation reimposed upon a president who doesn't want it, because it'll just make things that much worse.
Well, and hopefully we'll make things better. And I know you're doing good work out there, and we appreciate it. And Dan, we're going to say goodbye to you now, and thanks for being with us. And
thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you again. By the way, don't forget, everybody, Daylight Savings Time begins tonight. Set your clocks ahead 1 hour. And stay in touch with us throughout the week online at WMMB.com, keyword Space Talk. Follow us on Twitter. And remember that Space Talk brought to you by United Space Alliance. I'm Jim Bankey. We'll talk to you again next weekend, 2 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Now stay tuned. Dan Connery is next as your live and local radio continues right here on WMMB.